What a beautiful day, great opportunity to come together. And I hope that you didn't eat so much turkey and dressing this week that you're still a little over full and you won't fall asleep on me this morning. Hope that you'll stay awake and consider the things that we're going to be looking at from God's holy word. Looking unto Jesus is going to be the message and the subject matter this morning. I couldn't think of anything more important for a child of God to know than to know Jesus Christ, how he lived, and what he taught. The more we know about him, the better able we will be equipped to live for him. If we do not know him and about him, then certainly we will not be able to walk in a way that's pleasing to him. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read there, "For whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Word of God has been given to us so that we can learn and understand what God would have us to be and do. And not only that, he gave us Jesus Christ to look at. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, we read this, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Now, not only does the Bible give us good examples, it also gives us bad examples. Examples that we are not to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is one such example, the example of the children of Israel. After they had escaped bondage in Egypt, after they had been delivered through the Red Sea and joined to Moses and given the law and entered into a covenant relationship with God, they fell in the wilderness. They surrendered to temptation. And so verse 11, Paul goes on and he says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." The Bible uses many examples, and you know, even men like Abraham and Moses, God does not try to cover up their sins. God exposes them for who they are, what they did. This is just a picture of human beings who have lived in the past. Those who have strived to serve God, and those, of course, who have failed, and those who have, in fact, fought against God. All of these are examples. There is a great power to be found in an example. A.C. Dreeden said, and I'm going to quote him because he said it better than I could. He said, "The Bible is a book of examples. It records the lives of weak and wicked men to teach us what not to be. The lives and deeds of great and good men are left to show us how to live and what to be. The power of an example is very great for good or evil." That is an important point for us to remember. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good morals." Bad habits, bad examples, seem to go from one person to another. They spread like disease. An example is very important. And you are just as likely to follow a bad one as a good one. That's why we need to know what the good examples are. We need to know what we're to follow and what we're not. That's the power of influence, and we need to understand that power. The leavening power of influence can be for great harm, or it can be for very much good. He goes on and he says, "It is said that 75% of what we learn and do is the result of what we see in others. Our influence radiates in what we say, what we do, and what we are. Man is prone to follow a bad example as well as a good one, to copy defects as well as virtues. But one thing is certain, he will follow some example. We are all following somebody. You may not even recognize it. You may not admit it, but you are following somebody. You may be following your parents. You may be following your best friend. You may be following some leader or some entertainer. You're following, you're looking to someone for guidance. And let us also remember this. Each and every one of us, to some extent, are being looked at as an example. We are all looked at by little eyes and listened to by little ears. And we're followed by little feet. We need to realize the power of examples, the power of influence. Are we setting the type of example that we should set? Well, I'll say to you, friend, we're not able to do that unless we follow the example of Jesus Christ ourselves, unless we follow Him. You know, the saying that was going around several years ago, what would Jesus do? I had all the wristbands and everything. What would Jesus do? Well, if we understand that, if we understand what we should understand about that statement, we'll be okay. Now, I understand, look, Jesus did not follow, and He was not under the same rules and regulations we are. Jesus was living under the old covenant. He was a Jew, and there were things that Jesus did that I can't do in that regard, in following the Old Testament. But I do think there is a lot to be said for that question, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? If we know Jesus, if we understand what His mindset is and understand the principles that He established in His law, His teaching, then we will be able to make proper discernments. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Well, there's a lot in these three verses, a lot that we could spend time on. We could talk about that great cloud of witnesses, those men of Hebrews chapter 11, all those great examples of faith. They are witnesses that godliness can be lived, that righteousness can be done on this earth by men. We can, by faith, please God and serve Him and be rewarded by God. But we also have the greatest example of all, and that's the example of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word author means one that takes the lead in anything and thus affords an example, a predecessor in a matter of Christ. And speaking of Christ, that's the idea. He is the predecessor. He is our example. He is the originator of our faith. And He is the perfect example to which we can turn, as Hebrews chapter 2 speaks of Him as the captain of our faith and of our salvation. Jesus Christ is just that. By the way, that's the same Greek word there. The author of our faith, Jesus pioneered the path. Jesus Christ blazed the trail for us. He made it possible. You know, you could turn to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Listen, Jesus has trailblazed the way. He has made the way possible by what He has accomplished. And so the only way to be with the Father, come to the Father, is through and in Christ. That is following Him. following His path that He has blazed for us. He has run the race successfully. In Hebrews chapter 2, we see chapter 1 specifies the deity of Christ and emphasizes that. Chapter 2 emphasizes the humanity of Christ. And in fact, in verse 14, the Hebrew writer says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." How does He aid us who are tempted? How does He encourage us as pilgrims in this weary land? How does He help us as we strive to live for God? How does He help us? Well, He helps. One of the main reasons He helps us is that He has accomplished it. And He has provided the perfect example with which we can follow and take encouragement in, that we, through Him, can have life everlasting. He has run the race Himself. And thus the concept of being a perfecter of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith, or perfecter of our faith. The way of faith has been beautifully illustrated and demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. He reached the end of faithfulness successfully. In chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16, the Hebrew writer makes that point, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Jesus Christ, the forerunner who has entered into the heavenly sanctuary, is there as our mediator, as our intercessor, and He is there to help us and to be an encouragement for us. He has accomplished the goal, and we are striving to follow Him so that we may be where He is. And through Christ Jesus, we have been given everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. W.E. Vines says in regard to the term author, he says in Hebrews 12:2, where Christ is called the author and perfecter of faith, He is represented as the one who takes precedence in faith and is thus the perfect exemplar of it. Christ, in the days of His flesh, trod undeviatingly the path of faith, and as the perfecter has brought it to a perfect end in His own person. Thus, He is the leader of all others who tread that path. Are you following Jesus this morning? Are you looking to the author and the finisher of your faith? And by the way, that word "our," there is reason, the idea is really the perfecter, author, and finisher of faith. And so, He is the example. Are you following Him? He endured so much, and that was part of His trials and part of His temptation in the flesh, as He came here for the purpose of dying. And from His birth till He died on that cross, Jesus Christ lived in humility and lived as the perfect human being, the perfect example. From His birth all the way to His cross, through temptation, Luke 4:28 and 29, all the way through all of the trials that He faced. Jesus is our example. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, We're told there that He is our example and how we should respond and how we should live. You go back to Luke and the 9th chapter that Braden read earlier. Luke chapter 9, we read there of some men who wanted to follow Jesus. That was their profession. Verse 57, a man says, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." Do we really understand what that means? He didn't. And Jesus Christ went through the suffering and agony so that He could perfect that way for us. But you know what? In following Him, we too will go through some difficult times, some hardships, some trials and temptations. And so lest we become wearied and discouraged in our souls, we need to look to Jesus. We need to consider Him. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He provides us with salvation through His example, His teaching, and His victory over death. That is through hope. We have hope in Christ. If He had not died upon the cross, and if He had not been raised from the dead, the Apostle Paul tells us that we would all still be in our sins. We would be without hope. But in Christ, we can mount up as eagle's wings, and yes, we can soar. We can be the people that God wants us to be. So let us look to our example. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Yes, footprints of Jesus. Following His steps. What does that mean? Well, it means that we are to, in principle, be like Jesus. Jesus submitted to His Father. He committed Himself to His Father's business while He was yet a child of 12. Jesus Christ had committed Himself to His Father's business. That was the story of His life on earth. Oh, we should have the same attitude. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice sounded from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." The way that we submit and commit ourselves to the Father is to submit and commit ourselves to His Son, Jesus Christ. To obey Him, to hear Him, and to submit to Him. And yes, through many tribulations, through many trials, we will enter into the kingdom of heaven. That takes commitment. And we must commit our souls to Him who is faithful. In Acts chapter 11, Acts 11 and verse 23. Acts 11 and verse 23. We read this: "When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." Listen, you're not going to accidentally follow Jesus. You're not going to accidentally make it on the path that He's blazed for you. It's not like you just lay down in the stream and let go and let God. What you do is you have to intentionally, purposefully, with commitment, enter that path. You go back to Luke chapter 9, and you see those men again as they ask or tell Jesus, "Lord, we want to follow You. We'll go wherever You go." Were they really willing? Did they really understand what that meant? Jesus was baptized to fulfill righteousness. We find in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17 as He came to John. And of course, John says, "I'm not worthy to loosen your sandal straps." But Jesus submitted to the will of His Father. John baptized Jesus to fulfill righteousness. Now, we too are to be baptized. Now, not for the same exact reason that Jesus was. Jesus had no sin. Jesus, though, did fulfill righteousness. He did submit to the instruction and to the will of God in the matter. But there's more to baptism than just a command that is to be obeyed, although it is that. Baptism is where our sins are washed away. Jesus had none of that. Baptism is where and when we become children of God by faith, Galatians 3 and verse 26. That is when we are put into Christ. That's when we get into that way that He has trailblazed for us. We are to submit to Him and follow His example. Jesus said no to temptation, Matthew 4 verses 1 through 11, Luke 4, 1 through 13. You know what? What Jesus demonstrated is that we too can say no. We can say no to temptation. Jesus used the word to overcome temptation. We can use the word of God to overcome temptation. We're going to talk about this some more in a future lesson on the same, along the same lines. So we should say no to temptation. As John says in 1 John 2 and verse 1, these things are written so that you do not sin. So we are to understand we're not to continue in sin. Jesus served others. Mark 10, 45, Luke 4, 18 through 21, in a lot of different ways He served others. Well, we should as well. We should love our neighbors as ourselves. We should reach out to those who are less fortunate and those who are in need of help. We should be able to love and express that love and kindness to others. And the brethren, we must love our brethren. Jesus is our example in how we are to sacrifice for others. That's what Jesus did. He sacrificed. He gave Himself for us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, He let go of the glories of heaven, left that estate of glory and honor, and came to this earth. Lived on this earth for 33 years, the whole time submitting to His Father in complete obedience. Why? Why did He do all of that? Why did He condescend to the level of humanity? Why did He go through life on this planet? And why did He suffer the death that He did, the agony that He did on the cross? Why did He do that? He did it for you. And so we are to follow His example. We're to be like Him. And yes, we are to live for Him who died for us. But we're also to be helpful and sacrificial that others may have what is needed. Jesus did it for our greatest need, for our salvation. And we should be willing to sacrifice for others as well. And material things as well, of course, as spiritual things, and strive to teach the gospel. The faith of Jesus Christ was manifested throughout His life. And in fact, He was such an exemplar of faith and an exemplar of righteousness and holiness, godliness, that Jesus said Himself that when you see Me, you see the Father. That doesn't mean that Jesus is the Father, like some erroneously contend. Jesus, though, was the perfect illustration and example of holiness and righteousness. When people looked at Jesus, they saw the Father. He was the child. He was the Son of God. And you know, my friend, we too are children of God. And as Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, that we are to imitate God as dear children. That is, we are to have the same attitude and mindset and disposition toward others, towards mankind, towards our enemies, towards our friends, that God does. We are God's children, and thus we're to be the light of the world. Now, we allow God's light, Christ's light, to radiate and reflect through us. We are reflectors of their light. We're supposed to be. We should be. We are to let our light shine before men. A Christian, the word Christian, means one who is a follower of Christ. Someone asked, well, once you're a Christian, does that mean that you're always a Christian? If you rightly define the word Christian as one who is following Christ, well, if you are a Christian, that is, if you're a follower of Christ, and if you stop following Christ, then what are you?
You're no longer a follower of Christ. I'll admit that one who is born into Christ, born again, he becomes a child of God. He will always be a child of God, but he may become an erring child of God, a disinherited child of God. But the word Christian itself means a follower of Christ. How do we follow Jesus? I've already touched on this a little bit, but how do we do it? First and foremost, it's not like what a lot of people think. Okay, following Jesus is just, okay, Jesus, lead me and guide me. They never open the Bible. They never consider what Jesus Christ taught. They never listen to his words being taught. They just kind of do what they want to do, and they call that being led by Jesus. Truly being led by Jesus means that we hear and do what Jesus said in the Scripture. What Jesus instructed his disciples, his apostles, to teach us. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. You know, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Okay, that is what it means to follow Jesus, to do his will. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." We follow Jesus by submitting to his teaching. That is the only way that we can follow Jesus, to submit to his teaching. We follow Jesus when we deny ourselves in order to serve Jesus. Going back to Luke 9 and verse 23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." To follow Jesus means to submit to him, to do what he's instructed. And that's not always going to be easy. That's not always going to be easy. In fact, many times it is hard. The pull of this world is strong. Temptations are strong. The influence of this evil world is strong. And we need to deny ourselves of all of those earthly, worldly, sinful pleasures and follow Jesus. Deny ourselves. And if we choose to deny ourselves and we choose to follow Jesus, then we will be saved. If we desire to save our life, that is, and by the way, the context here in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." What you see is a picture who is, okay, he's at the point of a sword. And by the way, the wrong end of that point. And he's being told to deny Jesus. And so in order to save his physical life, he does. But what about that fellow who says, "No, I'm not going to deny Jesus. You can push that sword right on through my heart if that's what you want to do. I'm not denying Jesus." So the soldier would push his sword through the heart. That person died a martyr, but he died saved. That is the extent to which we should be and must be willing to go. Whoever saves his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? To deny oneself. That's what it means to follow Jesus. By developing the same mindset or attitude. Philippians 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." This attitude, this mindset of servitude, of submission, of humility, and surrendering, yielding to the will of the Father. We surrender, we yield our will to God's will. That is exactly the attitude, the mindset of Jesus Christ throughout his time in this world. He had the mindset, the attitude of servitude. And so we too must have that attitude. We are to love, we are to be humble, we are to be submissive. But in order for one to follow Christ, one must first put on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells us that we do that in baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision, no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." You have a stark contrast in this verse between what it means to put on Jesus and what it means not to. To put on Jesus is that we resist and we make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those who do not put on Jesus, well, they continue in the lust of the flesh. They're lost. Have you put on Jesus Christ? Not only in baptism, but also in your everyday living. Has Christ entered into you? Is Christ living in you? There's a typo on the chart there. But is Christ living in you? What do we mean by that? Well, we're not talking about incarnation here. What we're talking about is influence. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20 talked about how he was crucified with Christ. And that Christ was in him, was living in him. And thus, he lived the way he did. We allow the influence, the teaching of Jesus Christ to guide our thinking and our actions and our words. The one who follows Christ is one who is being conformed into his image. Now, Romans 8 and verse 29, I think primarily has reference to the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. And that is the process that we are in currently. We are being conformed into his image so that we can obtain that image, that glorious image, and that we obtain the resurrection. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, the process is still going on. We're being molded. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. And that we become like Him. In fact, if you'll turn over to Colossians chapter 3, I want to read something to you from that text. We're told in Colossians 3 and verse 10, "And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Now, look at verse 12. Now, we're going to see a picture of Jesus in Colossians 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," okay, Jesus is holy and Jesus is beloved, "put on tender mercies," Jesus is merciful, "kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." That's what it means to follow Jesus. To be like Him. To have His mindset. To be conformed into His image. To have our thinking conformed into His way of thinking. Looking unto Jesus. If we look unto Jesus, if we follow Him, then we will be where He is. But while we are where we are, as we're striving to follow Him, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we're told that we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with God. As we're walking in the light, as we're walking in the footprints of Jesus, as we are submitting to His will, we will fulfill God's purpose for our life. We were created for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to God, praising Him in complete submission. And God is seeking such to worship Him and serve Him. That's a fulfillment of the purpose God has for us in this life. But that can only be realized in Christ. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need that sin taken away. And we need to walk as Jesus walked. Peace and joy. To do what's right, to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow Him, I'll tell you, friend, that's going to bring you peace and joy in your life. And especially when we know what that will is, what the will of Christ is, when we know that we're not doing it, then there goes the peace and the joy. As long as we're thinking and looking to Jesus and looking for guidance and instruction, and we know we're not following Him, there's going to be the absence of peace and joy. But you follow Him. You do what is right, and there will be peace and joy. And think on those things that are right in Philippians 4 and verse 8. We will seek to save others. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. If we are following His example, if we're looking unto Him for our guidance, for our instruction, and we're walking the path that He walked, then saving others is going to be a part of that. Isn't that right? Looking unto Jesus. And from the benefit side of this, okay, we save ourselves. And that we're walking in that path and we're reaching out to others and trying to take them with us as we go down this journey. But we also save their souls. There's a benefit. Not only to yourself, but to some other lost soul who finds his way to the Father through Jesus Christ. We will have eternal life in heaven. John 14 and verses 1 through 6, Jesus speaking with his disciples, telling them that they will be where he is. If we follow Jesus, that is true. We will be where He is. So we have an example to look at in Jesus Christ. Are we looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith? Is He your standard? What so many do, is they pick out someone else. In fact, they pick out the worst in humanity and say, I'm better than that fella. Or I'm as good as that fella. I'm no worse than that fella. I'm going to tell you, friend, that makes absolutely no difference. Doesn't matter whether you're better than every other human being on the planet. That's not the standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. There's our measuring stick. John says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We follow him. What so many do is they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Paul says this is not wise. Look to Jesus. There's the standard. Now here's the downside of looking to Jesus. We all realize we come up short. But here's the upside of looking to Jesus. He's merciful. He's faithful. He'll forgive us when we come to Him and we ask for forgiveness. We meet His conditions that He set forth. And then we can walk with Jesus. And we can be like Him and we can be with Him. But there's the standard. That's who we look to. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Friend, you can't walk in darkness and light at the same time. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God at the same time. You can't be a fence straddler in this. You need to look to Jesus and you need to follow Him. You need to get in that path that He's trailblazed for you and you need to follow it and not turn back. John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Those who belong to Christ follow Him. John 12 and verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You want to be with Jesus? And Revelation 14 and verse 4, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Looking unto Jesus, are you? Are you following his teaching? Are you submitting to his will? If so, keep on. Keep looking to him. And look to him, consider him and his suffering, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So keep looking to him. Keep your eyes focused on him. Now, if not, whether you've never started following him, whether you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never entered into that way, then be baptized into him this morning. If you have once entered in to that way, you have once looked to Jesus, but you've turned away, I want to encourage you this morning, look back to Jesus. Look at him. There's your measuring stick. Submit to him. He will forgive you. He is our merciful and he is our faithful high priest. And we can come to him with boldness in our time of need. And he will forgive. He will welcome you home. And he will lead you home if you'll just follow him. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we ask that you come as together we stand and sing.